Thursday, December 14th. President had me talk to Helms today to tell him that he had talked to Kissinger and Scoop Jackson about some special assignments for Helms based out of Iran regarding the oil situation in the general area there, and he had told Scoop to talk to him about it. Also, I told Helms today Schlesinger was going to be his replacement and that we wanted his support on that. President told me to handle the Connie Stewart firing, and then Mrs. Nixon called me later and also asked me to do it. So I called Connie in, worked pretty well. She said she didn't think it was going to work for Mrs. Nixon not to have a staff director, but she at least didn't fight the thing. So I think we're going to be able to pull it off all right. On general personnel, he came up with the idea of moving Dr. David to NASA so that we could give AEC to the woman, or moving Brinegar to NASA and giving transportation to Ann Armstrong. Wants to know if Flanagan would take the EEC. He's now feeling it would be better to get him out of the White House, that we made a mistake on that. Later this afternoon, got into ambassadors and some general discussion of the speechwriter problem, the need for inaugural address, and getting some other people to look at it. Wants to consider Judge Scheintag, who was at the reception last night, as a key appointment. Also Caffiero, the Italian. And some further discussion of Carlucci's assignment. Henry was back, spent most of the morning with the president, and apparently the talks have broken off for now. So there won't be anything developing on that in the immediate future. The president's going to have to move to step up the bombing. And then hope that we can get a political settlement. If we don't get the settlement within a few weeks, which Henry thinks we might, then we have to make a straight deal offer to get out and end the bombing in return for the POWs. See what we get on that. The president thinks Congress will back him on forcing that one through and will not force him to take any worse settlement than that. He got into some discussion of general concern that we're going to lose control of our big win if we don't keep the attitude up real tight, really ride herd on people. He thinks we're not getting the kind of appointments we should and not really riding to get the kind of action out of people that we should be getting now. Kissinger came in to talk with me this morning about his personal problems, wants to have a long meeting later, which we never got around to today. Got into the press thing, and it was really kind of hysterical because he flatly told me that he had not talked with John Osborne and didn't understand why the president and others were disturbed about the Osborne story, and didn't understand why we didn't trust him when he says he doesn't talk to these people. Then I read him the direct quotes in the story, and after hemming and hawing a bit, he said, well, I talked to him on the phone, but I didn't meet with him. He also told the president he had not talked with Reston, only he told me that he had talked with Reston on the phone in Paris when Scotty called him to thank him for meeting with Monet. The president met with Scally this afternoon to offer him the UN post, and made the pitch that regarding the UN, the key for Scally is to get along with State and Kissinger, or at least appear to, but that he must be the president's ambassador, no one else's. At the U.S. mission, we want smart people, but they must be loyal to this administration, and he should be ruthless in cleaning it up. He should not become the captive of the Foreign Service. For example, in Black Africa, State's views are exactly right for 1,000 years from now, but they're impossible now. On the Mideast, he must appear to be working on it, but it will probably be settled by great power politics and not at the UN, although he should keep up the appearance. He said the image of the UN is bad in the United States, such as their hijacking vote earlier this week, where all those cannibals wouldn't even vote to support it. You may have the opportunity to stand up on TV as Lodge did, and you'll have a chance to serve the country's interest and your own in this regard. He said the announcement will raise hell in some quarters. The State Department bureaucrats will knife you, and the press will try to dump on it. But your assets are such that they'll override. You've been around the world. You know the White House. You know PR and the press. And in making a play like this, you have to prepare for it. You'll take a lot of heat, but you can murder them. This will include a seat in the cabinet only because it's you. We're getting rid of all the other fringe seats, such as Finch, Rumsfeld, and Kennedy. The president will see that you're properly clued in on our thinking and on the State Department. That is, you'll sit in on NSC meetings when they involve the UN, sit in on all cabinet meetings, etc., and he'd like to get this announced on Saturday. Scali came back with a really very moving reaction, making the point that he would serve as the president's ambassador, not the secretaries or the bureaucracies or the foreign services, that it was the greatest honor ever given to an Italian in this country. He recalled all the shoes that he shined in his father's shoe store and working his way through school, and how proud his mother would be if she could be there for his swearing in, and how he understood the need to build the new establishment to work with our kind of people in New York, that he would be the president's made senior representative in New York and could be very helpful there. He obviously got the picture and was very much impressed and really overwhelmed by the offer. So that one may turn out to be a better appointment than a lot of people think. End of December 14th.